We're doing in Yaakov on Gemara Shabbos. We're on page Kuf Yud Gimel. We had learned about the story of Ruth and Boaz's conversation with Ruth. And we're up to V'tavalt piteich b'chometz. Boaz tells Ruth, when it comes time to eat, so dip your bread in the vinegar. Why does he have to tell her that? So one interpretation is, Amad Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar taught, who is Rabbi Elazar in the Gemara? Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, the student of Rabbi Yochanan, who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. So Rabbi Elazar, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, he says, Mikan, from here you should understand, Shachomitz yafeh lasharav. The vinegar is something good, something that's vinegary. Their vinegar was probably not exactly vinegar, it was probably more like our salad dressing. Vinegar is good when it's very, very hot. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani taught Remez Ramazla. When he gave her the vinegar, so he was alluding to something. He had just indicated to her that the Davidic dynasty would come from her. He had just indicated to her that the great kings of Israel would come from her. When he offered her vinegar, he was alluding to something else. He was alluding, Shatid ben latzet mimena, that a son would still come out of her, Shemasav kashim kachomitz, that his actions are difficult like vinegar. Vinegar eats away at the teeth, at the enamel. So as the verse says, like vinegar is difficult for teeth. Umanu, who was he talking about? He was talking about Menashe, the king Menashe. The king Menashe was king for a very long time. He was wicked, he was evil, and his kingdom lasted for 55 years. And vinegar, as you leave wine and it ages, it becomes stronger and stronger vinegar. Menashe, as he aged, became a more and more difficult king. In the end, he did tshuva. But there were many years where we suffered under him. It says Menashe would take every Torah scroll and erase Hashem's name and write into the Torah different names of idols. So that when people would read the Torah, they'd read it that Bereshit bara, in the beginning, was created. Instead of Elohim, he would write some name of an idol, and he would write this idol created in the beginning, the heaven and the earth, etc. It's a good question. His father Chizkio was king when his father died, so he gave him the throne.
But the Sanhedrin or something?
I don't know. I'm not sure they were alive to overthrow him.
He killed the masses.
Was there rules about that?
Yeah, theoretically they could have. We find precedent for that, but yeah.
That no one ever followed, but
there are rules, yes. The rules are already in the beginning of the book of Yoshua when it says Rak Chazak Ve'ematz, when they tell Yoshua he is king and they say Kolisha Shemret Picha, anyone who rebels against your words will be killed. So they're giving license to the king. So there they said Rak Chazak Ve'ematz, but on condition that you are strong in Torah. We move on. So Vateshev Mitzad HaKotzari, the pasuk says that she sat next to the people harvesting. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar taught, who is Rabbi Elazar in the Gemara? Rabbi Elazar ben Pidat, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, who compiled the very good. So Rabbi Yochanan was the disciple of Rabbi Yanai. And Rabbi Yochanan was very powerful in Halacha, right? We know Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the Halacha is like Rav Yochanan. Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, the halacha is like Rav Yochanan. Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav in Isurim, in prohibitions, and like Shmuel in monetary matters. But Rav Yochanan outweighs both of them. So Rav Yochanan was a very big power in halacha, and his disciple was Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. The truth is that originally Rabbi Yochanan had another disciple. Rabbi Yochanan's disciple was Rabbi Yoshua, the son of Lakish, otherwise known as Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yoshua, the son of Lakish, had learned with Rabbi Yochanan, and then decided he was leaving yeshiva, and went out and became a big-time gangster. He had two compadres, and he was considered the big gangster. Now, Reish Lakish was a powerhouse. He was physically big. He was very scary. And one day, Rabbi Yochanan was swimming across the Jordan, and Reish Lakish saw him, and decided he would rob him. And so Reish Lakish came and took one leap and leaped across the Jordan that Rabbi Yochanan was busy swimming. And then Rabbi Yochanan saw his leap. Now, Reish Lakish, when he saw Rabbi Yochanan swimming, he thought he was a woman. And Rabbi Yochanan was so beautiful, so he thought he was a woman. So he leaped across the Jordan, and then he says, "Oh, you're a man." So he says, "Such beauty should be on a woman." So Rabbi Yochanan says, "And such might should be in Torah. You're so strong. Wow." And Rav Yochanan knew Reish Lakish because they had learned together earlier before Reish Lakish had went to be a gangster. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, "I have a sister who's better looking than me. If you come back to learn Torah, I'll convince her to marry you." So Reish Lakish says, "Fine. For that, yeah." And then he wants to leap back across the Jordan, and he can't. Because once a person accepts to learn Torah, so Torah saps our strength. Torah makes us tired. So Reish Lakish was his prized disciple, who was also his brother-in-law. And Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was a secondary disciple. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was not on the level of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan loved Reish Lakish. You know why? Because anytime Rabbi Yochanan would say something in class, Reish Lakish would bring him many proofs to disprove him. And then Rav Yochanan would have to work hard and try to prove his position. And between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, so then the truth came out much better. So Rav Yochanan loved Reish Lakish. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, when Rav Yochanan would say something, he'd say, "Oh, I have a good proof for what you said." Rav Yochanan said, that's not a good student. You have to argue with me. You have to give me good questions on what I said." So she said, next to the harvesters, v'lo b'tocha kotzrim, she didn't sit in the middle between the people harvesting. V'teishev mitzad hakotzrim. So our sages say that this pasuk indicates the following. He was sitting at this end of the table and talking to her. And he sat her down at that end of the table with all the harvesters in between. So the Gemara says, that's not the way we would expect. You should have sat her down next to him or somewhere. Why all the way at the other end? So the Gemara says, Remez Ramazla. He was hinting to her that ultimately the two of them would be together and the Davidic dynasty would come from the two of them. But Atid ben Natzet Mimena Shema Asaf Kashin. I'm sorry, I skipped backwards. That just as they were divided in seating, so too their descendants would ultimately be divided, that the Davidic dynasty would be divided. He gave her some dry, kali is dry kernels. They used to dry them and that would sweeten them. So this was like a sweet in those days. And she ate it. Amar Rabbi Elazar, who is Rabbi Elazar? He is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, the disciple of, who is Rabbi Yochanan's first primary disciple? Reish Lakish. Very good. So who is Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe? Rabbi Yanai. When we have a machlokas, an argument in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, who wins? Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, who wins? Okay, Rav and Shmuel are both disciples of Rebbe. Right, Rav was a nephew of Rabbi Chiya, a disciple of Rebbe. And Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor. Shmuel was a top astronomer. He was also a doctor. Rav and Shmuel both have tremendous weight in Talmud. We always go like Rav in Halacha and like Shmuel in monetary matters. But Rabbi Yochanan, we said, outweighs both of them. And he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas. So now Rabbi Elazar tells us the following. Vatochal, the Pasuk says she ate. Vatisba, the Pasuk says she was satiated. Vatotar, the Pasuk says she lived over. So Rabbi Elazar says, Vatochal, she consumed, she ate. That's an allusion to the days of King David. Vatisma, she was satiated. That's an allusion to the days of King Solomon. Vatotar, she had left over. That's an allusion to the days of Chizkiyahu. King David was wealthy because he conquered many nations. King Solomon was wealthy because everyone made peace with him. He was so wise. King Chizkiyahu was wealthy because people valued him. They saw how pious he was and that miracles happened to him. So they all made peace treaties with him as well. And the Amri, others say, Vatochal, she consumed, Bimei David uvimei Shlomo. That's a reference to the days of David and Shlomo. Vatisma, she was satiated, that's a reference to the days of Chizkiyahu. Vatotar, she had some leftover, that's a reference to the days of Rebbe, who was a descendant from the Davidic dynasty, and he was a remnant. There was something left over from the Davidic dynasty, that was Rebbe. De'amamar, as we are taught, aharure de Rebbe, Rebbe's stable manager, the one who was in charge of Rebbe's horses, haveatir mishvur malka, was more wealthy than a king called Shvur Malka. Rebbe's stable manager made so much money that he was more wealthy than a man named Shvur Malka. So that's why Rebbe is considered a king. It says Rebbe was Ashirut Torah Ugdula b'makom echad. It says Rebbe was unique, that you had extraordinary wealth and extraordinary Torah in one place. It says you rarely find that. Okay, so the Gemara discusses who in world history had that. Moshe initially was very poor. Later on, he became very wealthy. So ordinarily, we don't find that a person has both. Rebbe was one exception. The Braisa says the Pasuk is referencing this world, the world to come, and the days of the Mashiach. Okay, we move on. The verse says that in place of his honor, it will burn like a fire. So we're talking about Sancheiriv. Sancheiriv was the king of Assyria. Let's do a quick review of what's going on. We have creation, and then we have the Jews entering the land of Israel, and then after Judges we enter the period of kings, and after David we have Shlomo. Shlomo has a son, Rechavam. Under him the people seed from his kingdom, and Yeravam ben Nevat leads the northern 10 tribes. We have two kingdoms in Israel for the remaining 3 centuries of the first temple period. And Yeravam ben Nevat is the northern dynasty. They don't really have a dynasty. The northern kings, they keep switching families who's king. And then they get destroyed. In swoops Sancheiriv, the Assyrian king from the northeast, from Assyria, and destroys all the northern 10 tribes and exiles them. Then he continues and destroys the south, and all that's left is one city, Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem has gathered into it all the different refugees, and inside Jerusalem, the king is Chizkiyahu, the pious king. What he sees is, looking out of Jerusalem, all of Israel's been destroyed. Sancheiriv has conquered nation after nation. And now Sancheiriv has come to conquer Jerusalem. Within Jerusalem, there's a man named Shevna, who is leading a rebellion against Chizkiyahu. Shevna has tremendous political clout, and Shevna has convinced the masses to side with him and give over Jerusalem into the hands of Sancheiriv. So from outside, The enemy has surrounded Jerusalem, and Chizkiyahu doesn't stand a chance. From inside, Chizkiyahu is outnumbered by Shevna and his men. And the Navi tells him, don't worry, Sancheriv will fall, v'tachat kivodo, and in place of his honor, yekad yekod kikod esh. He will burn like fire. So that's what the Navi Yeshaya tells his relative, Chizkiyahu, the king. Ultimately, Yeshayahu has Chizkiyahu marry his daughter, and they become mechutanim, right? Ultimately, Chizkiyahu marries Yeshayahu's daughter. Yeah. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught. We know who Rabbi Yochanan is, right? V'tachat kivodo, v'lo kivodo mamash. Rabbi Yochanan says, it says, in place of his honor, it will burn. So, what happened was that what is a person's honor? A person's honor is their clothing. You stand in front of people. What gives you honor, dignity? Your clothing. So Rav Yochanan says, Tachat velo kvodo mamosh. His honor itself wouldn't be burnt. And so according to Rav Yochanan, what happened is that the soldiers of Sancheriv were standing around Jerusalem and their clothing did not get burnt. Their clothing are their honor. Under their honor, they got burnt. But their clothing didn't get burnt. So when it says angels came and killed Sancheriv's men, according to Rabbi Yochanan, their clothing were not scorched. Rabbi Yochanan l'tameh dekar lemani mechabdute. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that he holds that the clothing are one's honor. Rabbi Eliezer omer v'tacht kvodo tachat kvodo mamash. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. In place of his honor. Rabbi Eliezer says that the clothing were burnt. So the bodies were burnt. The question is, were the clothing burnt? Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani omer tacht kvodo kisrifat pnei Aaron malalan srifat neshama v'guf kayam afkan srifat neshama v'guf kayam. He says it was just like the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, it says that fire went through their nostrils. Their bodies remained intact on the outside. Inside, their souls were burnt. They just dropped dead. So too, that's what happened to Sancheriv's men. So the question here is, according to Rav Yochanan, the clothing didn't get burnt, just the bodies. You'd see piles of clothing on ash. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the bodies and the clothing got burnt. According to Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, no. Everything seemed intact. The body was intact, the clothing were intact. You just saw their souls were burnt, they dropped dead. So that's the miracle that happened on the night of Pesach. Sancheriv and his men surrounded Jerusalem, and Hashem sent his angels. According to the verse, there was a plague, and something happened, and that night all of Sancheriv's men died, and it was a big miracle. What exactly happened? Here we saw three opinions. We'll pick up here, Bezat Hashem, next.